All right. Okay. Good to see everybody tonight. And good to be here on this Wednesday night, church prayer meeting service. And I hope everybody's had a good day today, a good week this week. And let's see. Who in here has a lot going on? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was trying to figure out how to say it. And Brother David walked in and said, "How you doing?" I said, "Well, through much trial and tribulation, we'll enter in." And so this is the place to be when you have a lot going on, right here in church on Wednesday nights. And just want to say that I'm, believe it or not, I'm some better, a good deal better. Monday was a pretty tough day. The temperature thing, whatever it's called, not a thermostat, but that's what's on the wall, a thermometer, said I was, you know, right there at 98, but I didn't feel like it. But by morning, I felt great by Tuesday morning. So I still have a little bit of this nasally stuff going on, but no big deal with that, really. It'll go away in due time. But it is good to be here, good to see everybody tonight. And I tell you what, today has been a crazy day. I'll grab a bulletin over here. But left my prayer list on my study desk. Let me make sure I got my sermon in here. Yeah, there it is. And it's just been one of those crazy kind of days. But anyway, we're here, and that's all that matters. And we'll go ahead and jump right into things on our prayer list. Let's just remember tonight our children's home and our prayers over house parents at Tree Lot, which Miss Darlene said on Sunday morning that at that time they sold 800 trees, and which is a forest. And so that's a blessing to hear of that. I hear the kids downstairs, and so that's a blessing to hear that. But let's pray for them. And let's remember Ruby Harper in our prayers. Let's continue to remember the Prestridges, Brother Chuck and his shoulder. Looks like he's doing good. Ready to throw a Hail Mary with that arm. And but praise the Lord for that. Harold Dolph. Let's remember Brother David Henderson and his upcoming hip surgery. Is that the Monday after Christmas? Okay, I thought so. I had that date on my prayer bulletin that I have personally, but it don't look like it made it into the bulletin from Sunday. But anyway, let's remember Brother David on that, Miss Glenda, and Leonard Delores Palmer. I believe Brother Leonard went this week to get results, a checkup on his medical situation, and so maybe we can hear from him by Sunday. And, of course, let's continue to remember Ed, Mary, and Sanvi. Good to see her tonight. James and Shirley Townsend, Mary Kelly, Johnny and Pat Eccles. Let's remember the Dailies. Yesterday, of course, was the funeral service of John Ashworth. And I think I heard, as I was setting up, maybe some went to the funeral that's here tonight. And I was not able to make that due to not feeling well. But let's remember their family for days ahead. The Teagues, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey. Let's remember the Tidwells, Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clinton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, James Stolen Brown, Peyton Cochran, and all of our shut-ins. Is there any other requests, any updates? Prayer praises to mention tonight. All right. Let's also remember, of course, as we said, Don and Carla Rich, but we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think we did. I know it's on Facebook, but I believe we mentioned about Stephen and Krista. And they answered the call to take a church in Ohio. Is that right?
Indiana.
Okay. Okay, Indiana. Now, are they living in Indiana or living in Ohio? Okay. I thought it was something like that. I thought maybe, so it's good. The church is in Indiana, they're living there. I thought maybe they were living in one state and traveling to the other for church. Sometimes it's like that. But let's remember them. That's very much need a prayer for that. Okay. We all prayed up, ready to go? Excellent, excellent.
So you can take me out that prayer. I'll tell you right now, I haven't changed a thing.
Okay. We'll take you off. I have a tendency of leaving people on because there's times where I take people off and they say, hey, put me back on there. And so.
It's such a blessing to get all my jobs done.
Praise the Lord.
My sister really, really helping me. And I haven't done anything different. I ain't had surgery. I ain't done nothing.
You're right. Yes.
She's helping me. But I'm good right now.
Awesome. Well, that's just the kind of God we serve tonight. He'll step in and he'll do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And so we praise the Lord for him. There are many requests tonight. Several are going through different things. And so let's just remember the unspoken prayer request tonight. And all right. Well, is that all we have as far as prayers? Miss Marianne. Okay. Okay. Eddie's cousin and nephew.
Their cousin's best friend
is like Eddie's daughter. Okay. Cousin and nephew of Eddie. Let's remember this. Both have cancer.
Eddie doesn't know about his nephew.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff, I believe, has a song for us. Then we will continue preaching on Jesus, teaching on him tonight. Praise the Lord tonight for that. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. And just to give you a little bit of encouraging news while we're here, we are currently planning for Jubilee. And I want to tell you, we got a good one coming. We have got us a good Jubilee in the books that's being planned right now. And I ain't going to let you know any details right now. I want this to be released at the right time. But just be ready for March the 6th through the 10th, 2022. We're going to have us a jubilation. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to read one verse, verse number 16. Last Wednesday night we said that, well, last Wednesday night we spoke about the Lord. Of course, it was December the 1st, and we kicked off last Wednesday night the Christmas season, and we just talked about the Lord, talked about Jesus and his life and how he went from the cradle to the cross. And we mentioned some things last week that pertain to that. We mentioned the three different stages of his life. There was that first stage, the silent period from birth to 30. And we talked about, although things were silent, there were still some things happening. And then we talked about his serving period, and that was age 30 to 33. Just 3 years, but a lot took place. And we know that when God's involved in the equation, he can do a whole lot in a small amount of time. And then we talked about the sacrificial period, and that is when he gave his life on the cross, and then he was, then he rose from the dead. And so we looked at that last Wednesday night, talking about the Lord opening up again the Christmas season. And so tonight we're going to talk about Jesus once again. And I want to use verse number 16. The last time I preached on this verse was exactly a year ago, and in the Christmas season. And so tonight I want to read verse number 16, and then we're going to mention some words, give you our title, and bring the lesson tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So that's our verse tonight. Am I too loud? All right. Sounds pretty good to me. I'm kind of deaf right now, so it sounds pretty good to me. All right. And so 1 Timothy 3:16, that's our verse. Now, I want to call your attention tonight to the word mystery. Mystery. He says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is he talking about? Mystery. For many years, hundreds and hundreds of years, the life work of Jesus and his redemptive plan was a mystery. It was wrapped up in the Old Testament, and it was dark, wasn't revealed yet. That was Old Testament stuff, but now in the New Testament is revealed. It's kind of like the gift that's under the Christmas tree that has your name on it. You wonder what it is. You may have an idea what it is, but you're really not sure what it is until Christmas morning and it's unwrapped. Well, that's what I believe this means when it says, and without controversy, without dispute, without debate, great or large or largely is the mystery of godliness. The word godliness here, it's the whole makeup of the gospel plan. It's Jesus' life work. I guess you could say it this way. The mystery of God that was revealed in the person of Jesus. And so it's the mystery of God in some respects. And we know that the mystery of God was hidden in times past. But the mystery of God is revealed in the New Testament through the person of Jesus Christ. And so we have this mystery revealed. And that's the title tonight to the lesson, is the mystery revealed. Again, in the Old Testament, it was a gift under the tree. And today, it is that unwrapped gift that's sitting there ready to be taken. Now, in the New Testament, again, this is the gift that has been unwrapped and evident for all to see. And it's without controversy. Let me just reiterate this one more time before we move on. Without controversy. The word controversy, it means basically without debate, without dispute, undeniable, certainly. And so it's at the same time, it's like that tool set that you get for Christmas. Okay, you unwrap it and it's evident that that's a tool set. It's not a teddy bear. It's not a board game, but it's a tool set. There's the wrench, there's the screwdriver, and all the other ins and outs of a tool set. There it is. And so he's saying that without controversy, without dispute, without debate, great or large is this mystery of God, but it is been revealed through Jesus Christ, and it is what it is. He is the Messiah. He did come to die for us. He did perform miracles. He was raised from the dead. That is a tool set. That's a hammer. That's the ratchet. That's the screwdriver. And so he's driving home this point that the thing that was clouded and the thing that was dark and concealed is now revealed. And so without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then he gets into the ins and out of it. And again, tonight I want to just talk about this mystery that's been revealed just go line upon line within this one verse, each phrase at a time, and see how it can apply to our life. Number one, I want you to notice the mystery revealed. We're getting into what's been revealed. He says this. He says, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. And so that was dark in the Old Testament. But because of the New Testament, it's revealed about God, how he was manifested. I wrote this down. Humanity was added to deity. The deity of God, the deity of who he was deposited into humanity. And so people like you and I, yet without sin, the Lord, the God-man, was born to this world. He felt like passions, yet without sin, and took upon him the form of a servant. And so God was manifested in the flesh. Again, hundreds of years ago, this was prophesied about the coming Messiah, but it was a mystery, and now it's a revelation. It's been revealed. Turn over to John chapter number 1 for a moment, if you would. Let's look at how God was manifested in the flesh. John chapter number 1, we're going to be doing a little bit of flipping tonight. We're going to be flipping out tonight. John chapter number 1. So our text says that God was manifested in the flesh. So John chapter number 1 verse 1 says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Down in verse number 14. And the Word, which the Bible just said, was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we see the manifestation of God in the body of Jesus Christ. And of course, two is really one. Two people, two deities, yet one deity. And so we see that here in John chapter number 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Now turn over to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew 1. That great Emmanuel verse says this. Matthew chapter number 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel here, it interprets its own name. It says God with us. And that's what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. And that's what the babe was called, Emmanuel, one of many names. And so, again, we're talking about this mystery that was revealed. And it says God was manifested in the flesh. And so these are just a couple of verses that you can refer to help support that one, our main text verse, that God indeed, that we already know, but now by other scriptures read in harmony with our verse, was manifested in the flesh. And so what else was revealed in this mystery that was kept hidden for so many years and spoke about and seen in shadows? Well, not only God was manifested in the flesh back in 1 Timothy 3, but the second thing is we see that he was justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. And so how does that play out? Being justified in the Spirit. We were just in Matthew. I want to have you turn back to Matthew. We know that being justified in the Spirit, talking about Jesus here, how was he justified in the Spirit? Well, we know the Holy Spirit, in the lifespan of Jesus, the Holy Spirit furnished the evidence that he was justified in the Spirit. Several occasions. One here is Jesus' baptism. Now here in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 16, listen to this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is a picture of Jesus being justified in the Spirit whenever he was baptized. Of course, he was introduced to the world by John the Baptist. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And so when he was baptized, the dove descended upon him. And this was a sign of the Holy Spirit. And so in one instant, that's what being justified in the Spirit. Again, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit through the Son by the dove lighting on his shoulder. Of course, there's many other places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit furnished the evidence of this justification of who Jesus said, who he really was. The Spirit provided and furnished the evidence through miracles he performed. This proved or justified that he was truly the God-man through miracles, through conviction of sin. He said in the book of John that the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. And so that was a way of himself being justified by the Spirit, that he was who he said he was. When he spoke his words and they pricked the heart of men and women, that was the Holy Spirit doing that. And because of that, He was justified in the Spirit. But I want to point out something back here in Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3. Every time I'm here, I have to mention Matthew 3 and then the beginning of Matthew 4. A little bit of personal application here. So Jesus was baptized. And notice, if you would, in verse 17 of Matthew 3. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So we see here that God the Father had pleasure in God the Son. Here he was. He was on the scene. He was getting ready to start his ministry. And the Father was pleased with him. And, you know, there's times in life. Now, God, he loves us unconditionally. Whether we do wrong, whether we do right, he loves us. But as a father, I love Lily regardless. But I feel a little different when she just does right. It makes me feel just, it warms my heart when she does right. And so God the Father says about God the Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now look at chapter 4 in verse number 1. That first word means a whole lot. That first word is the word then. Then. What happened during this time where the Father was pleased with the Son? Well, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is a thing that is a pattern in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Whenever you go to do good, the devil is always waiting. In fact, Peter says he is as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so Peter over there tells us to be sober, to be vigilant. And could it be that Jesus, in his obedience here, and then stepping into a wilderness to be tempted of the devil, could that be preaching a message to us? I think it can. Again, reiterating, it brings the message that the devil's not too far away from us. He's always watching. He's lurking. He's looking. The same thing with, like in Job's case, Job was a man of character, yet the devil found place in his life. And so for us, we seek the Lord. We go after God. We try to do what's right. And then, behold, the devil is right around the corner. And so we could take away from that to always protect ourselves spiritually, always put on the armor of God, always pray, don't miss a day, always read our Bible, whether it's a word, a verse, a paragraph, a book, stay rooted and stay plugged in is the best thing. And so he was justified in the Spirit, though. Great is the mystery of godliness. And it was once concealed, now it's revealed. And so Paul is telling Timothy back in 1 Timothy, God was manifested in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit through the person of Jesus Christ. And so now we see not only that, but there's a third thing. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, or manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, but then seen of angels." What does that mean, seen of angels? Well, pretty much just means what it says. I believe Paul mentions this to show the greatness of this gift, that angels were interested in salvation. Angels were interested in the revelation of the thing that was concealed. Angels were interested in this mystery. And so therefore Paul writes this. The ministry of Jesus was of great interest to angels. Many times Jesus was seen of angels. And so It's mentioned here. Now over in Luke chapter number 2, go ahead and turn to Luke. Luke chapter number 2. If I was an octopus, I wouldn't have enough arms tonight. So we're just going to take it one by one. Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 12. I was already there. Listen to this. Seen by angels. The birth of Jesus. Luke 2. Let's start back in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we have here that he was seen not only by that one angel, but I believe this heavenly host is a host of angels he's talking about. And again, we got to keep in our minds the one verse we're looking at tonight is a recanting of his whole life. It's Jesus' whole life in a nutshell. And that which was a mystery, but now it's revealed, and he's just breaking it down to us. He says he was seen of angels. And so we see that here in Luke, in our verses 10 through 14, that there were angels that seen him at his birth. But then also in Mark chapter number 1, let me make my way over Mark 1, we see that angels ministered to Jesus after Satan's temptations. And of course, this is another account of Satan's temptations. But Mark 1, in verse 13, listen to this. Mark 1, verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. That's pretty bad right there. Not only is it a battle being tempted of the devil, but he was in the presence of all these wild beasts and animals. And you can imagine after fasting and being tempted and fighting off the lions and tigers and bears, that he was distraught. I mean, he was fatigued. Keep in mind, he is the God that was manifest in the flesh. And so what happened? The Bible says, and the angels ministered unto him. They strengthened him. Angels do have a part in our life to some degree. You remember, who was it Elijah who was running for his life from Jezebel and was ready to give up, and he hid under the juniper tree. And Lord, just let me die is what he wanted to do. He wanted to die. But the Bible says an angel came and brought him a cake. Brought him an angel cake. The angel came and visited him. And because of that and some other things, he was strengthened for the journey. In fact, in that story, he says, the journey is too great for thee. Rise up and eat, man. You got to eat. And that's encouraging because Elijah felt like his journey was over. But yet the account of the story says, the journey is too great for thee, which is insinuating there's more I have for you. And so the times that we get fatigued spiritually, the times that we get discouraged, that doesn't mean that our story's over. There's a whole lot left to our story. At least we assume there is, because God still has us here. We're going to experience dips and lows and highs and, you know, and all of that kind of thing. But But we're here to serve. We're here to be family people to our own families, and then to be family to our church families and carry out God's will for our life. And sometimes we get low in spirit. Sometimes we get discouraged. But then we can find strength in Him. And I don't know if God's ever strengthened me with some kind of angel. I don't know if He's ever strengthened you. I know that there is a set amount of angels. There's a set amount. And they do not reproduce. Angels do not. There's a set amount. And God uses angels. He may have used an angel for you this week. I don't know. Maybe when you had a bad day, if you had a bad day this week or last week, maybe God used one of His ministering angels. You ever thought about the time where you were late getting somewhere? I know not too long ago I was in Hiram, and I was leaving the Academy of Sports. And when you're leaving on the far end, right in front of AutoZone, some of you may be familiar with that. The light was red, the light turned green, so I started to go. But I caught out of the corner of my eye an 18-wheeler just barreling down through there, so I saw him, so I didn't go. He ran the red light, so, okay, he went by, so then I started to go. But tailing behind that 18-wheeler was a Suburban that I didn't see, and he was doing every bit of 60. And I want to tell you what, I know God Himself, He's the one who takes care of us and provides and looks after us, but something supernatural happened because I didn't get hit. And I want to tell you, if I would have got T-boned by that Suburban, I wouldn't be standing right here tonight. In the grand scheme of things, however God uses the angels, whether it's God's hand doing it or if He's in one instant or if He's allowed an angel to take care of this situation, I don't know. But I do know this, that God does take care of us. And there are things that happen. We're late getting somewhere. Well, that might be because we could have been in a bad accident and died. You just never know. God is steadily at work. God is steadily strengthening us, just like He did to the prophet Elijah. The angel strengthened God Himself. And so I know that He does that as well in our lives. And so the Bible again says He was seen by angels at His birth when He was... the angels ministered to Him at Satan's temptations. But then, in Luke 22:43, I'll just give this one to you. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, well, he was strengthened again by angels. Peter, James, and John were sleeping. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and the cross was in plain sight. He went a little further and fell on His face, and then He prayed. God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine will be done. At that moment, He was strengthened, the Bible says, by an angel. At least according to Luke 22:43. An angel strengthened Him. Just interesting stuff. Matthew 28:1-7. Specifically verse 6, we see that an angel said, "He is not here, but He is risen. He is risen indeed." And again, we're talking about this mystery that's been revealed. We're talking about a rundown of His life and that He was seen by angels. And then, I like this one, Revelation 5:11-12. Let's turn there. Revelation 5:11-12. This is the back of the book. Revelation 5:11-12. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Most believe this is yet future. The time when we're going to stand around the throne and give praise to the Lord for who He is, for what He's done. And so that, but yet there are thousands upon 10,000s of angels here around the throne praising the Lord. How exciting, how interesting. When we get to the back of the book, there's praise. And so, seen by angels. I know sometimes I build up a point and it seems like I just gas it out at the end. I don't do that intentionally. I'm trying to learn how to be a little better about that. It's just so much I want to mention that I can't spend too much time on any particular thing. But angels around the throne, praising God, seen by angels. Now let me say this about angels. Just a couple little extra things. Three of them. Angels, according to Revelation 19:10, should not be worshipped. They should not be worshipped. Look over Revelation 19. We're here. Turn to Revelation 19, verse number 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You follow that on through and you find out he's talking about an angel. So we're not to worship angels. And again, as I said a moment ago, angels are curious about salvation. 1 Peter 1:12. All right. And then, according to Hebrews 13:2, angels can be entertained. Be not unaware, the Bible says, of entertaining angels. And that's these special messengers, again, that cross our paths that we, you know, we're just not sure. They could have been an angel. You know, sometimes I guess more so recently than in a long time here in Hiram, there's been homeless people around like Target and Longhorns at those intersections. And I believe it was yesterday there was a woman there. I mean, she was pretty decently dressed and had a sign that said, please help, need food. And you just wonder sometimes who's scamming and who's not scamming. And then sometimes I wonder if that could be an angel there just to see if I'll give that cup of cold water, if I'll give that piece of food. You know, Scripture says if whoever we give a cup of cold water in my name, Jesus talks about that, giving it to someone in my name, you just never know. You never know. And so angels can be entertained. Seen by angels, justified in the Spirit. God was manifest in the flesh. Let me scoot along here. Back in our verses, 1 Timothy 3:16. Not only that, but was preached unto the Gentiles. Preached unto the Gentiles. God used Paul for the Gentiles. God used Peter for the Jews. The Jews rejected the gospel. Rejected this Christ, but the Gentiles accepted him. And it all took place, this transition from the gospel going from the Jew to the Gentile, the rejecting of Jesus by the Jew, the accepting of Jesus by the Gentile, this all took place around a certain scenario that's very interesting. Stephen, the first martyr who died at the hands of Paul, actually. And he died, and there was a great, great disruption over that. And there was persecution over that. And God's people were scattered. Well, this actually initiated the gospel to go to the Gentiles. And so when you stand back and you look at it, it was a really bad thing. Stephen lost his life, but the gospel was spread to the Gentiles. which fulfilled prophecy as well. And so, man, I think about life sometimes when it looks bad and it appears bad and even feels bad sometimes. But yet God has a way of working it together for good. How interesting. So during his life, though, the gospel was preached unto the Gentiles. He himself did so. But then the apostles carried it out. God turns bad things into treasures. He turns our mess into a message. God definitely has a way of doing that. Paul's message was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:17, I share this verse with my Church of Christ friends, where Paul says, I did not come to baptize, but I came to preach. When it comes to preaching to the Gentiles and the Gentiles receiving the gospel and Paul preaching, the actual mode of preaching was God's way of creating faith to believe. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And whether it's preached or read, that's how we receive our faith, by reading God's word and promises. And so we see that he was preached unto the Gentiles. But then back in 1 Timothy 3, he was believed on in the world. Listen to this as we get ready to close it here in a few minutes. The Lord's gospel was carried out by a small group of fishermen. The very first one was Andrew. And Andrew findeth Peter, and then the rest of them. And so we had a small group of men that began to be fishers of men. The Lord said, follow me, and I'll make of you fishers of men. And so they left their nets, and they followed him. Now, it all started with that first disciple. Can anybody in here give me an exact count of how many disciples or Christians there are today? Ain't no way. I think it's pretty amazing that the Lord started with one, and from that one, I mean today, right now, innumerable amount of believers, in so much that he was believed on in the world, throughout the world. As the world turns, he started with a small group of fishermen, and it is where it is today. And so the word of encouragement out of that is, don't despise small beginnings. Things that may start off slow. Things that may start off small. You may be contending with some kind of struggle in your life, and you may, I don't know, you're wrestling for a little bit of victory, and you got some good days, some bad days. Build on that, because it's leading you to a bigger conclusion. And so we have to build upon our victories. We have to take it day by day. Small beginnings, small things. You know, every big business was a small business at one point. Their starting point, and now it's a big business. And things grow. A little person who eats a lot ends up being a big person. You know, and so it works every which way that you look at it. But at the end of the day, he was believed on in the world. Of course, those disciples probably didn't know how big that the following would be, but it is sure a big following. Believed on in the world. In fact, Acts 17, verse 6 says that they turned the world upside down. Lastly tonight, he was received up into glory. He was received up into glory. I'll just give you these verses. Luke 24:50-51. He led his disciples to Bethany. He blessed them and was carried up into heaven. Or carried up into heaven. Acts 1 in verse number 11. The Bible says, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. And it continues on. And so he was received up into glory. That was the end of the mystery. That's what we have here. We have the mystery revealed, and this was the end. He started out in a manger, and then he died upon the cross, was buried, rose again, and he was received up in glory. He was received up in glory because his work was done. His work was done. On the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. You know, it's a good study to go back and look at, but there's at least three times that phrase is used in the Bible. The first time is in creation, when the Lord was done in 6 days. Everything looks good. It is finished. And then when he died upon the cross, it is finished. And then in Revelation, it's also used when everything will be finished up then, so that the new heaven and the new earth shall come. That's a good study to look at. It is finished. And so he went away because his work was done. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. In a nutshell, there you have it. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you was honored tonight, and I know it's a sleepy Wednesday night, and everybody, a lot of people are working, others, Lord, are doing their other things that they're doing, but let us tonight, Lord, allow these words to sink in richly into our hearts. Lord, let us be changed. Keep us safe as we leave, and Lord, we do pray that you would be with Rebecca Ashworth and Tiffany and William and family, Lord, as they buried their husband and daddy yesterday. We know there's going to be that empty place at the table. I pray that you'll fill it with your presence. Be with all those, Lord, who are sick. Be with all those who are, God, those that are just struggling. Help us be a blessing to all. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anything to mention tonight? Man, straight up on the dot. We got through. All right. Well, everybody.